The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To dedicate a daf, a perek, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Beya, daf mem amud aleph. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from the fifth perek of Bava Kamma, Shoshanah Hesapara, and Hechnis Bereshus. If someone brings his property, Rashi explains, shorok, derosa, perosa, his ox, his pots, his fruit or grain, l'chatzer chavero, into the chatzer, the yard of someone else, balachatzer chayev, the owner of the chatzer is responsible for any damage that befalls the peros, the property of the other person. Rebbe yomer l'olam eino chayev ad shekabalo balabayis lishmer. Until, unless there's an explicit acceptance of responsibility by the owner of the chatzer, he is not chayev. The Gemara then brings the machlokas amarayim, how we paskin. Amravun amarav, alachi derechachamim. Rav rules in accordance with the chachamim, that even without an explicit assumption of responsibility, he's chayev. Shmuel amar alachi derech Rebbe. Shmuel says we paskin like Rebbe, that we require an explicit assumption of responsibility. And there is a machlokas rishonim, how we paskin, like Rav or Shmuel, like Rebbe or the Chachamim. Elsewhere, Bava Kamma, Bava Metzia, the Gemara discusses other questions of Kabbalah Shmira, various language used, Hanach Lefanai, Hanach Stam, Hanach Lefanecha. But in general, this is a fundamental rule of Shmira, that liability as a shomer does not hold unless there is a Kabbalah Shmira, whether explicit or implicit, but you need some kind of Kabbalah Shmira, otherwise you're not going to be chayav. There's a important tshuva of the Rush. There are two versions of the tshuva, actually, in Klal Tzadi Dalet. At least one of them was addressed to the Rush by his son, Rabbi Chiel. Reuven was going to a Yerid, a fair, in Tzipori. Shimon said, please take my chefetz, shoes, according to one text of the tshuva, with you. Amar lo, he told him, okay, put him in the chamar, put him in the car, put him on the donkey. V'chein asa, he did that, and they were lost en route. What happened? They were placed on the chamar below kshira, without being tied on, and he put the chamar al eim haderach, he pulled over his chamar to the shoulder of the road, and he went to use the facilities to answer a call of nature, lahasich es raglav, and they were lost. The shoes were lost. So the Rush says, the whole discussion in the Gemara about Habes HaKamach, the different languages of Kabbalah Shmira, Hanach Lefanai, all those texts, he says, those are all where the object is being placed in a reasonably secure location, based on Nifka. But here, where he was on the road, of course he's Mekabel Shmira. Even though there was no explicit statement of Kabbalah Shmira, of course he's responsible, of course he's a Shomer. Shem lo yishmir baderach vade yuavudim. Because obviously he has to watch them, because who else is going to watch them? When they're in his house, maybe the guy will stay with them and watch them, maybe they're secure. But here, where they're on the road, of course their safety requires being watched by the traveler. Therefore, it is Pashut, he says, that he's a Shomer Chinam, and he's Pasheh B'Shmiraso. He is a Shomer. He was negligent by leaving them on the donkey without Kshira and moving away from them to use the bathroom. And therefore, he is Chayev. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Sadi Aleph and Chashan Mishpat. Paskins like this Rush, Ramad does bring a Yesh Chalkim, but the Shulchan Aruch is so same like this Rush. Many Achronim raise an objection to the ruling of the Rush. They argue that in addition to Kabbalah Shmira, according to many Rishonim, a Shomer does not become Chayev unless there is a Kinyan. The Gemara is not entirely clear. There's a major Machlokes Rishonim about this. The Gemara does talk about Kinyan, but the question is, what is the significance of the Kinyan for Achrayas or for other purposes? Many Rishonim hold that a Shomer needs a Kinyan. Now, the Rush himself is not a problem, because the Rush is L'shitase. The Rush is in the camp who does not require a Kinyan. But, the Achronim ask, L'halacha l'maisa, there is a major machlokes Rishonim, and it's considered a sfeika d'dina pashtus, so l'halacha, we should not be able to paskin like this Rush. This point was first made by Rabbi Tam ibn Yachya in his Olei Tam, the Tumas Yesharim. He says, the Rush is L'shitase, but it's machlokes Rishonim, and therefore, Anan, Basroi, de Basroi, we are the late Achronim, he says, since it's a Plukta Dravasa, Amotin Chorel Haraya, we cannot be Mechayev Misafek. The Knesset Agdola was very impressed by the acuity of this point. He says, these comments of the Tumas Yesharim should be L'totafos Beinei Necha, they should be like Tefillin, they should be a guiding influence and inspiration to you, And Bin Tavani says, know well, understand well, that many Acharonim, he says, bring this rush as if it were a Stam Mishnah, he says, but it's not so simple. Now that you see what the Tumas Yisharim is saying, you realize it's actually the Machlokes Rishonim, and we cannot simply be Machayev like this rush. Maybe that's why the Ramah brings the Yesh Cholkim, because the rush is not the consensus view. Machne Ephraim, Rabbi Kveger, also asked this question. They say, there's no real Kenyan, they say, because the Chamar itself, if you want to use it to be Kona, make a Kenyan on the shoes, the Kenyan Chatzir, they say, it doesn't work because it's a Chatzir Ma'aleches. You want to argue that Meshicha of the Chamar is like a Meshicha on the Kalim, that's also a problem, that's also a Shal on the Gemara. So there's no proper Kenyan. So the Rosh is L'shitasi, Rabbi Kveger says. Machne Ephraim says, but L'halacha, it's far from clear that we can be Mechayev. The Acharonim give various terutzim in the Divrei Mishpat, Rav Scheinberg in the Tabat Zechoshen, but we focus here on the terutz of the Nesivos. The Nesivos also asks this question. The Nesivos has a very important idea for his terutz. He says that the only time we're interested in Kinyan and all the other technical requirements of Shomer is if we're dealing with simple negligence, and the only basis to Mechayev is Pshia. Shmira and Pshia, he says, this guy is a mazik, he says. He took property belonging to someone else from a secure location. He took it to an insecure location, abandoned it there without washing it properly, and it got lost. That's a maisa hezek, he says. If Reuven goes and takes Shimon's property from his house without permission, drops it on the side of the curb, aleim haderech, of course he's chayev, he says. You don't need a kinyan. Brings a raya, the Gemara calls it a veda midas. The Gemara in El Matzias says that if someone places property in an insecure location, that's a veda midas. It's like he destroyed his own property. So he's chayev. So therefore, the Nesivos says, if somebody who's not a shomer would do this, he'd be chayev. And so too, the shomer himself who did this, beyond any question of pshia and shmira, he's chayev as a mazik. And even if he wouldn't be a shomer, he is chayev. The Nesivos says the same idea in various other places, later discussing the types of property that are excluded from shomerim, hektish, karka, shtaros. The Nesivos says, even according to the shitas of Rishonim, that the exclusion is complete, and on those types of property, you're not chayev even for pshia, that's only ordinary pshia, nisrashel. But if he put them in a reshus harabim, which is a makam hefker, that's like a veda midas, and he is chayev. A third place, the Nesiva says this, is back here in Reish Tadi Aleph. The Gemara says a din that if a shomer forgets where he put something, he says, lo yadana, I don't know where it is, he's chayev, that's considered a pshia. The Nesiva says, if we take the Mechaber literally at face value, it's a Pshia, Shmira B'Bailim would be Potter. The Potsik says, in Ba'alavim lo Yishalim, if the Ba'alim, the owner of the property, is with the Shomer B'Malachto, he's working for the Shomer at the beginning of the Shmira, to Xeris the Koster of the Shomer is Potter. But in this case, in the Siva says, where he buried stuff underground, he put something somewhere and forgot where he put it, and forgot where he buried it, he didn't make a proper map that says 20 paces, X marks the spot, and all that, he is Chayev. And he says, because it's not simply a question of Pshia, he forgot where it is. He put it underground, he says. Had he gone into Shimon's house, not as a Shomer, grabbed his property and buried it underground and forgotten where it was, he'd be Chayev. Even if he meant well, he wasn't trying to steal it. He thought Shimon was insufficiently careful about his property. He decided as a good Samaritan he would bury it the way Chazal say you're supposed to keep valuables, and he did that and forgot where it was. He's Chayev, he's a Mazik, he says. So here too, he says, he's not just a Shomer who's Pshia, he's a Mazik. He's a Mazik B'Yadayim, he's Chayev, even though there's no Kenyan. Even if it's Shtaros and Hektashos and Karkos, even if it's Shmira B'Bailim, this is the Shita of the Nesivos, that all these cases go beyond simple Pshia and become Mazik B'Yadayim. Now, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, in his Tabat Zechoshen, raises a number of objections to both these passages in the Nesivos. First of all, he says, the Lashon is not Mashma this way. The Poskim, the Rosh, the Gemara, they say Pshia. They say Shomer, they say Pshia, they don't say Mazik. These halachas are brought in Hilchas Shomer, not in Hilchas Mazik. That kash itself doesn't strike me as particularly difficult. The Shulchan Aruch is organized, the Torah is organized practically by the basic nature of the case, which is Shmir, even if in Lumdus it's Mazik. Okay, Rav Scheinberg asked that it's in Hilchas Shomrim. The Lashon used is Shomer and Shomer Chinam and Poshea, Pshia, Siyuchayev. It's not Mashma, it's a Din Mazik. Many years ago I heard a lecture from Rav Chaim Cohen where he tried to explain the Nesivos in a more subtle, sophisticated way that I believe answers these questions. I didn't fully understand what he said, and I certainly don't remember it now, so I'm not going to try to relate it. But in any event, that's Rav Scheinberg's problem, that the Lashon of the Poskim, the Lashonus of the Poskim, the Gemara, is not Mashmu dealing with Mazik. Furthermore, Rav Scheinberg objects to the basic din, He says, the case of the donkey. He took it on the donkey, left it alay maderach, went to the bathroom, and they got lost. He was supposed to put it on the donkey, he says. That was his job. He was supposed to transport it to Tipari, to the Yerid. How can we fault him for putting it on the donkey and taking it to the road? The road is where it belongs. Now he neglected to secure it, he neglected to stay with it and keep an eye on it. That's Pshia. But how can we retroactively transform his taking it on the donkey to Mazik? Bishlama, an outsider who's not a Shomer, who would just take it on a donkey or bury it underground, he has no business doing that. So even if he meant well, that's a Maisa Hazard. But a Shomer who's supposed to do exactly that, his instructions were to take it on the donkey, his instructions were to bury it underground, how can we possibly call that a Mazik? We'll return to that point later. Also, he points out in the Sivas' argument, analogy, that it's like Aveda Midas, doesn't really prove anything. Aveda Midas is not said in the context of Hezek. Aveda Midas just means that the normal mitzvahs of Ashas Aveda are suspended if the owner himself discards it in an insecure place, puts it in an insecure place. Aveda Midas, he's not taking care of it, you don't have to do it either. That doesn't mean it's a Maisa Hezek to put it in an insecure place. So he has problems, he has Yeshuvim from the Nesivas, but these are the objections he raises against the Nesivas. Focusing first on the first Nesivas, someone who takes something en route and leaves it in an insecure location, doesn't guard it properly and it gets stolen, can we call him a Mazik Mamish? Would he be Chayev even if he were not a Shomer? It turns out this is actually a Machlok Sachron. Avni Nezer doesn't mention the Nesivas, but he has a tshuva where he seems to take exactly the same position. His case was, there was a wagon driver who was supposed to take 20 agolim, 20 calves to Varsha, to Warsaw, Beschar, he's being paid for it. The Balagola complained that his schar was very low. Why are you giving me such a low compensation? He told him, fateful words, lo yiyach rayis haderach alecha. You won't be responsible for the animals on the way. Unfortunately, they had a grave misunderstanding. The wagon driver thought that meant that I don't have any responsibility. I can do whatever I want, and I'm not responsible. The owner, the employer, meant engage somebody else, engage a guard, engage somebody else to travel with you to keep an eye on the animals. But somebody has to do it. But since he didn't realize that, he traveled on himself with the calves. He didn't guard them properly, and sure enough, two were lost. One was stolen, one died. And it was such a case that it would be considered Pshia. We're assuming for the sake of argument it was Pshia. So the main argument between the employer and the employee was about his wages. The wagon driver wanted schar, at least 18/20 of the schar, 90% of it, for the agalim that he transported successfully. The owner said, well, you lost two of them, so I want to withhold your schar. And Abinazer also discusses maybe he should even be chayav for the loss of the two donkeys, the two calves above and beyond his schar. So the bulk of Abinazer's tshuva, not a long tshuva, but discusses questions of schar. Is he entitled to schar if he lost two? Do we view each bit of schar separately, or each calf has to be evaluated separately? Or do we say no, as long as you lost two of them, you don't get any schar? Other questions. At the end of the tshuva, he addresses the question, does he have liability as a shomer for the two calves that were lost, assuming there was pshia? He says yes, because he is a mazik b'shogeg. He's not just a pshia, he's a mazik. He says why? He uses language very similar to the Nesivos, although he doesn't quote it. He says, since he took them to a makom she'einam shomer, a road, that's a mazik. And he says, if you take something from a makom ha-meshomer to a makom she'einam shomer, afilu adam da'alma she'ein shomer, even if you're not a Shomer at all, you're Chayev, and therefore he is Mechayev. Now again, you can raise the objection, he was supposed to take them on the road. That wasn't Pshia. The Pshia was that he didn't watch them carefully. But in any event, Rabbi Nezer seems to say, as the Nesivos does, that is considered Mazik, and even in Ishta Alma would be Chayev. There is one major additional Chiddush in Rabbi Nezer. He understood that the guy told him, you have no Achrayas. Now that was a misunderstanding. It turned out he meant you should hire somebody else, you should take along somebody else, and he'll keep an eye on that golem. So he never meant to release him from liability, but he thought that he did. So one could argue that if he took them, Avinezer doesn't really take a position on whose interpretation of their conversation was more reasonable, who was correct, but one could argue that since he understood that he was potter, he's not a mazik. Nevertheless, Avinezer says he is a mazik, he's chayev, and even in Nishta Alma, who's not a shomer in the same situation, would be chayev, more or less, like the Nesivos. Now, the Haras Miluy Mishpat of Rabbi Dimitrovsky and the Nesivos points out that even the Nesivos, he says, Lachara would agree that if he said explicitly, the guy in the case of the rush, the guy who was traveling on the donkey and had the shoes, if he would say, I am not responsible, I'm not paying for your shoes if they get lost, he'd certainly be Patur. Even though we're dealing with Mazik, not just Shmira, even a Mazik, if he explicitly gets a waiver from the owner, he's going to be potter. He brings the Ksaos to Choshen, similar to the Aleph who says this. And even Avinezer would probably agree, would likely agree, that if there was no misunderstanding, if both parties explicitly said, you will not have a Chrayas, he'd be potter. The Chiddush Avinezer is, if there was a misunderstanding, apparently, and the owner never meant to release him, then again, still a Chiddush, even though he thought he was being released, he's still Chayav as a Mazik. But overall, his position is basically that of the Nesivas, that even in Ishtalma, if someone goes, takes someone else's property, places it in an insecure location, and it therefore gets lost, he's Chayav as a Mazik, nothing to do with Shomer. A dissenting view, apparently, is found in the Pamone Zav of Rabbi Rafael Ankav. He brings a passage from the Rav HaMashper, Mem Shin Bei Shtrechel Reish, I don't know who that is, it's a Kron Levracha. The case was a woman hung laundry on a clothesline, a Chevel, in a secure area. Another woman came along, removed the clothing from the middle of the rope, which was apparently a secure part of the rope, and placed them, hung them out on the edge of the rope. That was considered an insecure location because the Shomer Al Hagag, a guard on the roof, was able to take them. Now, the owner of the clothing saw the move and didn't say anything, and eventually the clothes were stolen. So the Rav HaMashber initially argues you should be chayiv. In the end, concludes that you're potter because since the woman saw, and it wasn't Hezek Bar anyway, and since she saw what would happen, and she didn't say anything, she saw it was being hung in that location and didn't say anything, she tacitly agreed, and therefore the woman who moved them is not chayeva, is not responsible for the clothes. Now, the Pamone Zav, Rabbi Ankava himself, has various objections to the details of the Rav HaMashber's argument. But at the end, he says, Be'ikra Adin, he agrees to the Rav HaMashber. He makes two arguments. First, he says, since when she moved the clothing at that point, it was not Hezekah Barer, there was no certainty of damage. It's only Grama Ba'alma. It's only a Grama. We know Grama Nizak and his Potter. Since she didn't do it, the Hezek B'Yadayim. Also, he says, Prat Nosaf, in addition to being Grama, he says, the woman who owned the clothes could have placed them back where they were supposed to be. She didn't say anything, so she showed that she's okay with their new location. But the first point, that it's only a grumma, it's not Bari Hezek, and she didn't do a Biadayim, he seems to be discussing exactly the same situation as the Nesivas and the Avnei Nezer. And they say Chayev, even in Ishtalma is Chayev. He says Potter, it's only grumma, it's not Bari Hezek, and he seems to disagree with their ruling. In support of the Mechayivim, in support of the Nesivas and Avnei Nezer, we can bring a Ramban. The Ramban in Dina de Garmi. The Ramban is discussing Moser, someone who turns over property of another Jew to people who steal it. The Lach is Chayiv. The Ramban is coming to explain the difference between that and Shisabo Sanachash. If someone incites a snake to bite somebody, there you're potter. What is the difference? So the Ramban explains that there's a difference between incitement and enabling. Even Moser, he says, if they were able to take it, Ma'adav or Dami, he says, if they were able to take it right away, just they weren't planning on doing it, and you said, go do it, I'm egging you on, I'm instigating you, go do it, and they do it, you're potter. Even though you gave them the Eitz, he says, you're still potter, because you didn't enable them. The only time you're chayav as a Moser is if you actually enable them, if they couldn't have taken it, they didn't know where it was, and you show them the property, or you enable them in some manner, that's the chayav of Moser. That's fine. But in the context of this explanation, he makes an analogy to Moser. He says, what's the paradigm for Moser? It's like someone, he says, who takes koso shel chavero, a goblet belonging to his friend, v'nicha b'rishas harabim, hilka chayav l'shalim. He places his friend's property in rishas harabim. Fascinating. So Masira is an explicit Gemara. Everyone knows the halacha. It's a couple of blot on the Gemara. Ramban holds up this case of the Nesivas as a paradigm for Moser. That he thinks is really poshut. Just like if I take someone's property and deposit it in a rishas harabim and it gets stolen, or damage, something happens, doesn't say, I'm chayav, that's why I'm a Nesivas chayav. So that which the Pamone Zav seems to be debating the Nesivas and Avnei Nezer, the Ramban seemed to think that was so pashut that he held that up as a paradigm for Mesira. Turning now to the other Nesivas, someone who buried, hid away property that was entrusted to his care, then he forgot where it was. Shulchan Aruch says, Eni Adan Ahinachti, give me time to find it. The halacha is no, he's a pasheya for not knowing where it is, and he is chayav l'shalim. As you mentioned earlier, here again, the Nesiva says it's not simply pshia. That's Rabbi Scheinberg's objection. It says pshia, but it's not merely pshia. It's really mazik v'yadayim, even if it would be shmira v'bailim, where there's no din shmira, there's no pshia, even pshia is patra v'bailim. Nevertheless, a mazik is not patra v'bailim, and you're chayav as a mazik, because burying it and forgetting where it is mazik, is mazik mamish, mazik be a dime. If I go into your house, bury your property, and then I forget where it is, I'm a mazik, even if I meant well, because burying property and not remembering where it is a hezek. Rav Scheinberg, again, has a problem with this. He defends the Nesivos in the end, but he has a problem. He says, how can we call it a mazik? You're supposed to bury it. Ksafim ein lem shmira el bakarka. That's where it belongs, deep underground. Or not deep underground, but properly situated underground. So, how can you call that a mazik? As it turns out, this basic objection to the Nesivos was raised a century earlier by the great Polish Gaon of Lublin, Rabbi Leo Kolaskin, and his Imre Shefer. Someone asked him point blank, do we pass like this Nesivos, in Halachu, Marun, Kain, or not? And Imre Shefer's answer was a resounding no, we do not pass like the Nesivos. He spends quite a lot of time arguing the case, two or three simanim focusing on this. His basic argument is pretty much the same as Rav Scheinberg. He says, how on earth can you possibly call him a mazik for burying them underground? He's supposed to bury them underground. He has to bury them underground. That's where it belongs. The pshia is only the subsequent forgetting where you put them. He says, that's not a mice to be a dayim. That's simply pshia. That's negligence. You forgot where it was. He actually makes two arguments. He says, first of all, we can only call a mazik be a dayim if someone else would have the same liability. And he says, even though it's true that if someone else would bury them underground, the Sivus might be right, you would be chaya for doing that. That's because you're not supposed to bury them underground. But here he says the whole pshia is the forgetting. Forgetting, he says, is not considered pshia except in the context of shomrim. An ordinary person who forgets something is not considered a pasheya. He brings a raya from an Muki Yosef. Muki Yosef is going on a Gemara. If someone has a stone sitting in his lap and forgets about it and gets up, so the Muki Yosef says, even if he's chayav as Adam Uj La'olam, he's not considered a pasheya because shikcha is an onus. And that's why the Muki Yosef says that if a person forgets to daven, initially he remembers he has to daven, he thinks he still has time. Later in the day he forgets. Muki Yosef says, he's not a mazid, he's not a pasheya, he's an onus. This is actually an extensive, major debate among the poskim, whether shikcha in various contexts, particularly in Chosh and Mishpat and Shomrim, is considered pshia or onus. I discussed this in my lecture for Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. In any event, Rabbi Kolaskin here is going with the apparent view of the Muki Yosef. Shikcha in general is not a pshia, it is an onus. So why then does the Gemara say that a Shomer who forgets where he put the object is chayev as a pasheya, if pshia is an onus? Shomer is patra for onus. So the answer is, he says, a shomer has a heightened responsibility. A shomer, when he accepts the property, mutal alav, it's his responsibility to pay attention and to remember, and not to mesiach das, and not to forget what he did. That's a special chiyuv of shomer. But since an inish d'alma has no such chiyuv, then we can't call that a mazik mamash, he says. Additionally, since the burying itself certainly can't be called a mazik, he says, because he's supposed to do that, not like an inish d'alma, he himself is supposed to bury them, so later on forgetting is only a shev altasa. So it's only pshia, not mazik biyadayim. So because of both these faras, A, because shikha is not something that would normally be considered pshia for a normal person, only for a shomer, and B, because the burial itself is what he was supposed to do, and it's certainly not hezek, it's only the subsequent forgetting. Because of these two svaras, the Imre Shefer concludes, he is absolutely not a mazik mamish, he won't be chayev abaylam. It's only a question of pshia for forgetting after the fact, and therefore he is not going to be a mazik, but only a pasheya, and you have to get him midin shomrim. He's not a mazik. In the context of his discussion, he makes one cute point, among others. He brings the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara said, Meshakech davar echad milimudo, if someone forgets a piece of his learning, an item of Torah, he's over a lav. So you see, lachara, forgetting is pshia, even when you're not a shomer. He says, no. That's again, just as he said earlier that a shomer has a heightened sense of responsibility because he's a shomer, because he accepted responsibility, so too, he says, someone who studies Torah has a special particular responsibility, mutal of tamid achiyav shlo yisiyach daito. He's supposed to always remember his Torah, pay attention, and not forget things, not be misiyach das. That's why he's chayav. An ordinary person who simply forgot that there was a rock in his lap is not going to be chayav, and so too, an ordinary person who forgot where he put something, he's not a shomer, he doesn't have that special level of responsibility, he will not be chayav. It turns out this machlokas between the Nesivos on the one hand and the Imre Shefer, Rabbi Scheinberg on the other hand, actually turns out both sides of this chakira, both sides of this machlokas appear in a tshuva 3 centuries earlier in the Maritz Elon. Maritz Elon was talking about a shomer of a shtar, a note, a shtar chov against a non-Jewish nobleman. And what happened was, the Jewish Shomer, Reuven had the shtar, Reuven gave the shtar to Shimon to hold. Shimon presented the shtar to the Rosh Karo, Reish Aleph Shin, Kuf Aleph Reish Vav. Don't know exactly what that is, but in context, it's some kind of secretary, some kind of official in the offices of the boss. He presented the shtar to the Rosh Karo for him to sign it, to verify it, which was apparently a normal step one took in order to obtain payment. He then was negligent in following up and retrieving it, and eventually the shtar disappeared. So Reuven with Tavash Shimon, you lost my shtar. So the Mertzalon begins by saying the halacha is that there's no shmira on shtaros. As you mentioned earlier, even pshia on shtaros is pashtar according to at least many poskim. On the other hand, he says, maybe this is not pshia, maybe this is mazik mamish. He brings a rush. The rush talks about a case of a sofer who had a shtar, and he gave the shtar of Shimon to Yaakov, who was Shimon's own father. And Yaakov then had some disagreement with Shimon, and Shimon couldn't get the shtar back. Halacha is a sofer chayev, because even though the rush says pshia and shtaros is pater, this is not pshia, this is sarif shtaro. If you burn a shtar, you're chayev. Giving the shtar actively into the hands of the wrong person, that's not simply negligence, that's mazik biyadayim. That's like sarif, so you're chayev. Says the Maariv Talon, so this guy who gave the shtar over to the Rosh Karo, ein emuna begay, he can't trust him, he says, and maybe he ripped it up or burned it. Kadesh yifter adonav me'achov, as a service for his master, acting in his master's interest, he tore it up in order that his adon should not be obligated in the chov. So maybe that's mazik mamash, he says. No, Maariv Talon turns around and says, maybe not. He said, as we noted earlier, this was the standard operating procedure. Everyone gives their documents to the Rosh Karo Lakayim, so he should verify them, whatever they have to do. So he says, how can you call that a mazik? The Rosh himself says that if the son typically gave his affairs in the custody of his father, the sofer is pater. So here also, the Rosh Karo handles all the documents, all the paperwork. So how can you call that sarif? On the third hand, the Maariv Talon says, wait a second. Everyone gives their documents to the Rosh Karo for him to sign right away. They don't let the things hang around in his possession, let's alim and ayin, where they could eventually get lost. And by doing that, that's pshia. Maariv Talon turns around once again and says, no, pshia, good, you're right, it's pshia. Letting them sit there until they get lost is pshia. But pshia and shtaros is patur. The only way to be mechayev is like the rush, if you call it sarif shtaro, if the initial giving it to the guy in the first place was a maisa hezek. But here, manav shach, Maariv Talon says, giving it over to his custody can't be considered hezek because that's normal. Subsequently, dragging your feet and forgetting about it is only a pshia, is only a passive act of negligence, and pshia and shtaros is patur. Then the Maariv Talon says the key line, im lo nidchok v'nomar, maybe we can say, he calls it a dochek, but maybe he can't rule it out. He says, maybe you'll tell me, kevan she'nicha biyado, once you let it sit for an irresponsibly long time in his hand, daninan l'masira shemach biyad rashkara kesarif, then we retroactively view the giving it to him as a sarif, as a maisa hezipiyadayim. So this one line, and this whole thing leading up to this one line, he basically is bringing both tzadim of the machlokes between the Nesivus and Rabbi Kalaskin. Initially he says, like Rabbi Kalaskin, that since the Masira was what he was supposed to do, giving it over is what he was supposed to do, and the subsequent negligence in failing to retrieve it in a timely fashion is only a pshia, those two things don't combine to form a maisa hezik. Then he says, we can be nidchok v'nomar, that when you're manicho, when you leave it there, then retroactively, apparently he means retroactively, the mesira, the giving it his custody in the first place, is a sarif. This exact machlokas is two tzadim in the Maariv Talon, and he's not sure. He concludes, adayin ani chalchik b'zeh, I'm still not sure, l'horver b'einai biru gomer, liban yafe. I have not sufficiently clarified this matter, it's not sufficiently clear in my mind, and I'm not sure. So that which 300 years later, the Nesivus and the Imre Shefer were debating, seems to have already been a chakira of which the Maariv Talon was uncertain.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.